Let's turn together in our Bibles to Matthew chapter 7, Matthew 7, where we find our text this evening. The title of our sermon for this evening is The Certainty of Prayer, and we're going to be focusing specifically on the last question and answer of the Catechism, which is the definition of Amen, or why do we say Amen at the end of our prayers? So our text is here found in Matthew 7, starting at verse 7, that's page 965, 965 in our black pew Bibles, Matthew 7, starting at verse 7. Ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be opened. Or which one of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? And as far as reading in the scripture, and now let's turn in the back of our songbooks to look at Lord's Day 52, and it's just question and answer 129. Just question and answer 129 today. Next week, Lord willing, we're going to come back and look at 127, but today we're just looking at 129. So let's read the answer together. That's found on page 896. Question and answer 129. What does that little word amen express? Amen means this shall truly and surely be, for it is much more certain that God has heard my prayer than I feel in my heart that I desire such things from him. As far as reading here in the Catechism, we pray for the blessing of our God upon the preaching of his word. Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, every society, every people group has their own little ways of ending a conversation. If I'm talking to you after church and I look at my watch and say, well, I gotta get going, you'll know what that means. It's time to go. If I'm talking to you on the phone and I say, well, we'll talk to you later, goodbye, you know what that means. I'm going to be ending this conversation. So is that what we are dealing with today? Is amen our way of saying to God, well, I've said everything I want to say. I'm going to hang up the phone. I'm done talking. Is amen simply our ending of a conversation with our God? Well, today we are going to be considering this small four-letter word, which we find at the end of this prayer. Now, to be clear, amen is not included in the original Lord's Prayer that Jesus taught his disciples in Matthew chapter 6. However, amen at the end of our prayer, saying amen, is both fitting and helpful. The use of this word is found at the end of the Song of Praise in Psalm 41. This is 41 verse 13. Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Amen and amen. But is amen simply the way of saying, I'm finished, I'm done, that's all I have to say? No, it's much more than that. It is a word of great meaning and significance because the word amen means this is true. I have said what is on my heart and I am convinced that what I have asked for, I will receive. Amen is a word of faith. It's not just ending a conversation. It is the end of a refrain of praise. You can find the same thing in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 16, where in the early church, the church had the practice of saying amen to express their agreement. So in order to express your agreement that you are saying these words, that you believe these words, that you have uttered them with a heart of faith and you are confident that you will receive what you have asked for, we say amen. So let it be. It is true. It is certain. So at the end of our conclusion of our catechism, at the end of the Lord's days, we consider the conclusion of our prayer. And we're going to be looking at this theme. God's people conclude their prayers with a certain faith. We conclude our prayers with a certain faith. In our first point, then, we look at the promise that forms the foundation of our prayers. How can we, as fallen, finite sinners, say amen at the end of our prayers? How can we say, this is true, this is certain, I believe this will happen, that I will receive that which I have asked for? How can we say that when it comes to the end of our prayers? With what certainty do we have that we will, in fact, receive the very things that we pray for? How do we know that our prayers are more effective than simply throwing stones up in the air only to have them fall back to the ground, unfulfilled and unheard? Well, our reading from Matthew 7 makes it clear that we are to ask, we are to seek, we are to knock, and we will find. So when it comes to asking God, when we ask God, we are acknowledging that we are coming to God in humility. But those who ask will receive. When they come, knowing that they are asking of God what he has promised to give. To seek is to search out. So in prayer, we seek to discern what is God's will. We are discerning, we are studying God's word to know what God has promised to give. We are to ask for the things that God has promised to give us. We are to ask for that which is necessary for our bodies and our souls. And then we are to knock. Knocking on the door indicates that we are to ask with a persistent and constant faith. Keep on knocking. Be like the persistent widow who did not give up. So the prayers of God's people are done with hearts of faith, done in humility, and done with persistence. And then as we read here in Matthew 7, when we ask, seek, and knock, for everyone, this is verse 8, for everyone who asks receives, the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, to that person it will be opened. Here Jesus is not saying it is a possibility, but it is a certainty that when you pray the right way and for the right things, we can say amen with a heart of faith, with even confidence. So prayers that end with the amen of faith are prayers that are made with childlike faith, made in accordance with his will and in submission to his plan. So we say, amen, it will be. I am certain that God has heard because I prayed in a way that he has taught me to pray. And I'm certain that he will answer because I've asked for the things that he has told me to ask for. That's why I can say amen. We find this in continuing in Matthew 7, verse 11. Will not the Father give good things to those who ask? So if you are asking for the good things that God has promised to give you, do you not think that God will give you the good things that he promises to give? Well, what are these good things that God promises to give? He promises to give his grace and his spirit to those who ask him and thank him for these gifts. So when we come to God in a proper way, proper manner, asking for the things that he tells us we should be asking for, we can say, amen. God, I know that you have heard my prayer and you will answer my prayer because I prayed to you as you taught me to pray and I've asked for the things that you told me to ask you for. Will God withhold good things from his children? Will the loving Father say, I will not give you what I promised to give you even though I promised to give them to you? Surely not. So when it comes to our saying amen, we have to be clear what kinds of prayers we should say amen to. Saying amen at the end of our prayers is not our way of putting our stamp of approval on our prayers, as if somehow amen would whitewash every word that we've spoken. Amen does not sanctify every word we say. If we are asking something evil from God, if we are asking for something from God that we want to spend on our own sinful desires, our lustful wishes, do we think that our saying amen at the end of a prayer like that is going to somehow open the doors of heaven? No. When we say amen, we are bringing ourselves back to what is necessary for our faith to be acceptable to God, Lord's Day 46, that childlike awe and trust. When we say amen, we are saying that we believe God will give us the things that he has promised to give us. Luke 11, his grace and his spirit, the good things, knowing what we need. So if we have prayed asking God to give us the things that he has promised to give, we can pray with confidence and boldness. But if we have asked for sinful things, or if we have been selfish in our prayers, if we have asked for things that God has told us we shouldn't be asking for, then our prayers should not be ended with amen. If we have not asked for the things that God has told us to ask for, and if we haven't asked in the right way, then we shouldn't end our prayers with amen, because we can't say, it is true, it is certain, and it will be. But if we have asked for the right things as we ought, even praying as Jesus taught us to, then we can pray with steadfast boldness and faith. So even when it comes to our prayers, the power of prayer is not resting on our wisdom, but rather it's resting on God and his faithfulness. We can say amen because we know God is faithful and he will do it. We saw at 1 John 1 last week that he is faithful and just. Our God is faithful. He will do what he says. He will keep his promises. Because God is faithful, we can say, amen, I know you will do it. Amen is our declaration of faith at the end of our prayers. I know God will keep his promises. Now here, our catechism, question answer 129, contrasts a timid prayer based on feelings and a bold prayer based on faith. When we pray this prayer, as we pray as Jesus taught us to, praying with a heart of faith, praying as God wants us to pray, praying for the things that God tells us you should pray for, then we can have a confidence knowing that our prayers will be heard and answered, not contingent on how we feel, but contingent on our faith in his promises. Living by our feelings and praying by our feelings is a very dangerous thing. Should we only pray for the things that we feel like we want? Or rather, should we pray by faith? Mark 11, 24, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you will receive it, and it will be yours. So then, as God's people, we can pray with a confident faith, giving our hearty amen at the end of prayer, knowing that God has heard and he will answer. For us as God's people, when we pray with the heart of faith according to the commands of God, as he has taught us, praying in the right way for the right thing, then we can know that our prayers will surely be heard and they will be answered. Not one of the prayers of God's people will fall flat. As Psalm 50 says, call on me on the day of trouble and I will deliver you. So when we are praying to God and we are repeating to God his promises, and I would encourage you that when it comes to your prayers, if you are repeating back to God the promises that God has given to you, that will encourage you to have great boldness in your prayer. And then you can end your prayer with confidence. Amen. You will do it because you have promised and you are faithful. Well, now that we understand the connection between God's promises and our prayers, we press on in our second point to look at the persons who are active in our prayers. Taking a step back, we know that here the Lord's Prayer is given to us as a corporate prayer. We are praying to our Father. It's a prayer we pray as a church. So in our prayer, we should be praying for one another. Prayers can be offered in private. We can think of Hannah, who in her silent prayer poured out her heart to the Lord. There's also the larger context where you pray as a corporate body of believers. But today, when we are looking at the persons of prayers, we are not looking at the people who are praying. We are looking at the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the persons who enable prayer to take place. So this point is really an unfolding of how does the Trinity affect prayer? Or how is the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, necessary in order for prayer to be powerful and effective? So when it comes to the opening of prayer, we pray to our Father who is in heaven. Who are we praying to? We are calling upon God, our Father. Not an unknown God, but the great God who is the I Am, the Lord God, who has become our loving Father. As children, we are coming to the Heavenly Father who has adopted us, who has loved us, who bids us come, who instructs us to come, who welcomes us into His presence. As every earthly father delights to get a phone call from their child when that child wants to pour out their hearts, so our Heavenly Father delights to hear the prayers of His children. Being a loving Heavenly Father, we know that we are coming to God in the expectation that He not only desires to, but is able to give good gifts. Heavenly means that He has all power. His hand is not short. Being heavenly means He has all wisdom. Earthly fathers do not have infinite wisdom, and they do not have infinite power. It is possible for a parent to want to give good gifts, but not be able. And it is also possible for a parent to not know what is good, to not have the wisdom necessary to discern what is the best gift to give. But our Heavenly Father does not have those limitations. Even as earthly fathers desire to give good gifts, this is coming right out of Matthew 7. Even as we have earthly fathers who want to give good gifts to us, I submit to you, if you call your father and say, "Hey, Dad, I'm needing some food here. Could you send me something to eat?" Your father is not going to give you a rock. I mean, I hope your father's not going to give you a rock. Or he's not going to give you a snake. No, he's going to give you bread. He's going to give you good food, right? And yet your earthly father is imperfect. He doesn't have all power and he's not all wise. Our Heavenly Father is all powerful and has all wisdom. So will he not surely give good gifts to those who ask? So the Father says we are to ask, seek, and knock. So we call upon our Heavenly Father, but we also come in the name of Jesus Christ. We pray in Jesus' name. Jesus Christ has opened for us a new and living way. That curtain that used to block, to bar the presence of people going into the presence of God, that curtain has been torn in two. A new and living way has been provided for us by the blood of Jesus Christ. We can now come into the presence of God being covered in the blood of Jesus Christ, without fear of being cast out, without fear of being consumed in our sin, without fear of being rejected or turned away. We can come boldly into the presence of the Father in the name of Jesus Christ. Even Jesus Christ, who has secured our access by His work as our perfect high priest. We saw this last week. We have the forgiveness of our sins because of Christ's blood. So specifically when it comes to our prayers, Jesus Christ as the perfect high priest has secured for us access into the Father's presence. More than that, Jesus Christ is interceding for us right now. That's Romans 8. Interceding for us from the right hand of His Father. So not only does Jesus grant access for us, opening the way so that you can come into the presence of the Father with boldness, He is praying for you as the high priest praying for us at His Father's right hand. From the Father's right hand, he is pouring out his grace and bestowing his Spirit upon us even to this day, praying for us as he did in the high priestly prayer. More than that, not only is he praying for us, he teaches us how to pray. He teaches us what to say. So when it comes to the Lord's Prayer, it is the perfect high priest teaching us, his children, his disciples, how to pray. He instructs us of what prayer is and how our prayer is to be made. So Jesus not only grants access to prayer, Jesus Christ is not only praying for us, Jesus Christ teaches us what we should pray when it comes to our prayers. So not only what to say, but how to say it is taught to us by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Sometimes the illustration is helpful. When parents teach their children how to pray, there's a process that goes on when there is this form stage when you are teaching your children how to pray. Little Johnny, you're telling them what to say, and then you put your hand, the parents almost are putting their hands over the hands of their children, interceding with their children, teaching their children how to pray. That's what Jesus does for us. We can imagine almost when we fold our hands in prayer, Jesus Christ, our elder brother, is putting his hands over our hands, praying with us, praying for us, and teaching us how to pray. But it's even better than that. There's even more of a blessing that we have. Because Jesus Christ is not only teaching us what to pray, how to pray, not only is he praying for us, Jesus Christ secures the answer to our prayers. 2 Corinthians 1 verse 20, Jesus is the yes and the amen to our prayers. 2 Corinthians 1:20 says this, through Jesus we utter our amen to God for his glory. Did you catch that? Through Jesus, we utter our amen to God for his glory. Through Jesus, we can say amen because he is the amen. Every answer that we receive to our prayers is secured by Jesus Christ. That's the benefit of having our heavenly high priest praying and interceding for us. While there remains the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a spirit of comfort who dwells in our hearts. Earlier we read from Romans chapter 8. In Romans chapter 8, we find that the Holy Spirit puts into words the groans of our hearts so that when we can't find the words to pray, the Holy Spirit turns into audible form the inaudible groaning of a heart. When our hearts are so burdened that all we can do is groan and cry out, the Spirit puts into words the groans of our hearts. Added to that, the Spirit is interceding from within us. That's Romans 8, verse 27. So not only is the Holy Spirit putting into words the groans of our heart, the Holy Spirit is praying from within us according to God's will. So sometimes we don't know what to say or we can't put into words the groans of our heart. The Holy Spirit puts that desire into word into the Father's presence. And sometimes we don't know what we should be praying for. But the Holy Spirit prays from within us according to God's will. So if you don't know what to pray for, or you don't know what to say, or you can't find the words, the Spirit is actively praying in us and for us, verbalizing what is needed in our prayer to the Father on our behalf. It is by the Spirit that we cry out, Abba, Father. Because the Spirit is within us, we can cry out to God as our Father. That, brothers and sisters, is the blessing of prayer. That the Spirit and the Son are active in our prayers and are actively praying for us. When we look at the Trinitarian benefit of blessing, we know God is calling us to pray. He is teaching us to pray. He is praying for us. He's giving us the words to say. He's putting into words the groans of our hearts. And he's praying for us in accordance with God's will. That's why we can say amen. Because what we need is here provided by our gracious God. When we look at these persons of the Trinity active in our prayer, then we understand why prayer is powerful. James 5 says this, "The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective." These prayers have great power and they are working. What is the source of power in our prayers? It's not the significance, not how much we want. It's not how great our desires are. The power of prayer is directly linked to the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, who enable us to pray for the things that we ought to pray for in accordance with his will. So don't underestimate prayer. God is faithful and active in your prayers, and he will give what he promises. Prayer is a powerful spiritual weapon that God uses. He uses to conform you, to change you in your prayers. God is sanctifying you in the prayer process, and he's also working through your prayers to give you that which he has promised. God delights to give you the good things that he has promised in his word, so we are to ask rightly and pray according to his word, ending our prayers with a hearty amen, because he is faithful and he will do it. To conclude, prayer has often been compared to breathing for a Christian. We are to pray without ceasing, as Paul would say. But at the end of our spoken prayers, it's fitting to give an amen, for we know that God will do what he says he will. As our theme states, God's people conclude their prayers with a certain faith. So may we all go forth in that joyful confidence in God as we come to him in that sweet hour of prayer. Amen. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the gift of prayer. We thank you that you have taught us to pray. And we thank you that we can end our prayers with a certain faith because you are faithful and you will keep your promises. So may we learn to ask for the things that you have told us to ask for, knowing that when we ask rightly, we will receive. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.